Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day and welcome. It is our broadcast coming to you live from the Wisconsin State Fair. We're inside the Goose Island Ale House next to the Budweiser Pavilion and across from the famous Cream Puff Pavilion. Come on by and say hi. We're going to be here all day today and throughout the rest of the week. So this is the place to be. The Wisconsin State Fair today, the sun has come out, the clouds have parted, the rain has gone away, everything's dried up. It's a fantastic day. No reason not to stop at the Wisconsin State Fair. And as a matter of fact, when you come out here, you got Brewers baseball that'll be on the television. As a matter of fact, the replay of last night's ball game is up on the TVs here inside the Goose Island Ale House right now. So come on by and shake a hand. Say hi. I want to say hi to Nick, who came to see us from Nina. And he had just stopped by, and he's been coming to the fair for 46 years, he said. He loves it and just made he listens every day. Said, I don't know specifically where he works, but he said at work, he listens to us. They have it on every day, and he said they just enjoy the program. So thanks to him for stopping by. Thanks to Mark for stopping by. Mark came from La Crosse, listens to us out there. Jake, who writes to us quite often, he said hello. He is going to be at Loopy's High Shore Supper Club out in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, coming up next Thursday night. But he came, or I should say, in Chippewa Falls. He lives in Chippewa Falls. Works for Leinenkugel. So he said, hey, we can't wait to have you up there because we're doing that pairing with Leinenkugel. So for that cigar dinner that night. So come on out and enjoy that. Also want to say hi to Krista and her kids, Kaylee and Keith. Both of them were here today as well, and I wanted to make sure we got that out. So there you have it. That is everybody so far that's come by to say hello. Also saying hello to us, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline as this Brewers team finally got off the Schneider and they got a win. Not in the best of fashions, but they did. Offensively, they at least scored some runs. Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com now joining us. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Best Brewers coverage. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by Concordia University Wisconsin Veterans Service Department. Dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. Go to cuw.edu/veterans. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Adam, what's going on?
Hey, I like that. That was a nice little intro.
There you go. Always good. Hey, look, I don't think I'm breaking any news here in saying that pitchers are going down left and right, and it has become almost, I don't want to say comical because it's not funny, but, man, the strength of this team last year was the ability to get outs at almost any period of time, and the strength of this team this year was supposed to be the offense, and it has let them down quite often as of late. I'm not a big bucket of cold water of optimism. I think the optimism is not reigning supreme right now. But give me your thoughts as to where this team stands, because the magic from last year seems to be lost on this year's team.
Yeah, look, and I don't know how you quantify that, but I agree with you. There haven't been the moments that there were last year. Look, every year is different, so it's maybe it's just going to be a different story every season. The offense had been very dormant, as you said, and there's nothing worse than a team that's not hitting because they look flat, they look dead, they look like they're not trying, even though they're probably trying too hard, and that's part of the reason they're not producing offensively. So it was a very good thing for them to put some crooked numbers on the scoreboard last night, and once again, no surprise, Christian Yelich leads the way. The problem is pitching, and you know, at the trade deadline, David Stearns was asked, point blank, is this for you a playoff pitching staff? He said he sees it as a playoff caliber staff that can get this team to the playoffs and advance at the playoffs. I think that there's a lot of skepticism about that, and probably rightful skepticism, even before Zach Davies goes down. Because they've, you know, you go into a season, this is a team that believes in depth. We've talked a lot about how they're doing it with depth, a little different way than other postseason teams that build sort of with from aces and then fill out the rest of the staff. This team doesn't have that at all. They went with the young guys. They thought they had enough depth to cover the ups and downs that would come with that. And they've used it all, and then some. I mean, they signed Gio Gonzalez early. They picked up Jordan Lyles in the trade. And they're still down to the very end of their pitching depth as an organization. And that is not a comfortable place to be in as you sit on August 6th. So my sort of feeling going into last night was there's a lot of focus on the offense because, again, nothing worse than a team when it's not hitting. But I think there's far fewer reasons to be worried about the offense than there is to be worried about the pitching and the pitching getting this team through the next 2 months, not just through it, but in a competitive way and trying to sneak into the playoffs.
The pitching on this team, bringing up Faria, bringing up Williams, I had said at the time that what the trades meant was you got depth. It's not necessarily big trades or anything like that, but you got depth. You got guys that can come up as Major League Baseball experienced. Because, I'd said, if you would have told me the 48 hours before the trade deadline that you were going to get, you know, four pitchers, three of which were Major League ready, and you would have given up Jesus Aguilar and a prospect, I would have said, you know, David Stearns was a genius. When those deals were done, I liked the deals because it gave them depth, but you need – You need an anchor. Who's your anchor right now?
No, there is not. I mean, it's Chase Anderson. It really is. I mean, their entire starting rotation now is either on the injured list, in the bullpen, or some combination of having been demoted and injured, Corbin Burns. So Chase Anderson, who started the year as the kind of number six guy and began in the bullpen, is the anchor of your staff right now. And look, they think Zach Davies is going to be short-term, so that's good. We're going to get info tomorrow on where Jolie Chassin is at. I mean, he's not pitched great this year, so it's not like he's some savior coming back. But he's at least, if they can get him healthy, he's a experienced pitcher who, you know, worked some really big innings and really effective innings for this team, you know, in a Brewers uniform. And that is that's a good thing to get him back. Maybe the time down will have sort of got something going for him. But they are not in a good place in terms of having that stopper that you sometimes need. I think Brandon Woodruff was that guy for this team early. And as far as what David Stearns did, look, the quote that stood out to me when we talked with him right after the deadline, and I know you're talking to him in a little bit and see if he tells you kind of the same thing. I think they tried to get a big guy. And then circumstances sort of changed. When you think about Chassin and Woodruff both going down right before the deadline, there just became need for multiple arms. And when you have a farm system that just isn't that strong, in part because they've made some aggressive moves to bring in players who have helped, including Christian Yelich, who cost them big-time prospects, took a big dent out of their farm system. I don't think anybody's complaining about that, but it certainly is a factor in what this minor league system, you know, where the ranking is. So the quote that stood out to me, and just to kind of paraphrase what Stern said, is that most contending clubs, he said, they seek to add the highest impact talent that you probably can. He said oftentimes it's very challenging at a deadline when prices are so extreme, and just my own aside, that's a word you heard a lot about the asks for pitching at the deadline, that they were just extremely high. And then Stearns goes on, in this case, we thought it was important to add depth to our pitching roster given the injuries and some of the attrition we've had. So I got the sense, you know, he doesn't like to talk a lot about his strategy and sort of what their thinking was. He gives you the very bare bones of what they tried to do and what they pulled off. But I think they went in looking to add a Zach Wheeler, you know, maybe more of an impact type guy. And they just got to a point where they had so much attrition, they had so many guys go down, and so much underperformance by other players that they needed multiple arms. And to do that, it's hard to do both. And I think they went for the depth, and they went for guys with a little flexibility. Pomeranz could start a game for them. He started for the Giants. Faria coming up, he could start a game for them. So So they've got they picked up guys that are flexible, and I mean that it sounds like he feels like that's sort of the best he could do.
Do you think, offensively speaking, right now, this team is where? Because I'm sitting here reading. So one of the assessments was that they upgraded their pitching, they got some depth, but one of the areas of soreness is shortstop. And I kind of took a double take at that for a second. And then they started going over the WAR numbers, and they started looking over the last 3 to 4 years for Orlando Arcia. And, yes, defensively he's been good, but he's been very up and down. I put the numbers up last night that to start the season he was hitting over 270, and then since, you know, I think it's June 30th, he's hitting like 148. He's never been able to put a full season together. Do you think that they're beginning to look at this thing offensively and saying, look, we've got too many ups and downs, too many alls or nothing on this team, and that they could possibly make some changes coming the offseason?
The problem with that, though, Bill, is that that's kind of the game right now. You know, you can point to this team because it's the team you're watching every day, but I think if we're in any other market having this conversation, they're saying the same thing about their offense, unless it's like the Dodgers or the Yankees or one of these kind of juggernaut clubs. So I think that that's kind of what players are now. And, you know, offense is not – it's never going to be your primary thought about Orlando Arcia. You want him to play stellar defense and then hope he's just a capable offensive player. And the problem with, if we're talking about Arcia specifically this year, it's he's not been a stellar defensive player for stretches for reasons that are – kind of a mystery to me, and I think a mystery to the club a little bit. There shouldn't be a reason for a player to slump on defense. But he sort of did, especially in that little stretch where they first called up Saladino and kind of called Orlando Arcia out a little bit for you know, just the expectation being higher for what he was going to give you defensively. But we're picking on one guy, and, you know, look, there has been a step back for a number of hitters on this club that were just, by the nature of being everyday guys, are critical to what they do offensively. Jesus Aguilar, now he's departed. Travis Shaw has just been a major disappointment all season. There's no way around that. I think Arcia has been, he's been okay. He was actually good on this. He's been very good on this road trip. But there's been just ups and downs in his game. Lorenzo Cain talks very openly about how disappointed he is in himself for not being the igniter offensively that he was for this club last year when he was such an on-base machine. There's lots of guys that offensively have not produced at the level that they thought they would produce. And the result is that it's a middle of the National League offense. And I think that's a surprise for the ballpark they play in, the players they have, the investments they made in Moustakas and Grandal, and then getting payoff. Both of those guys making the All-Star team. It's surprising. They're ninth in the National League in runs scored. And I think that surprises everybody. But again, I just think if we're looking at the bigger problem, it's still the pitching. And they're going to have to answer, if we're looking ahead to the offseason, they're going to have to answer some really hard questions about whether this philosophy of kind of doing it with depth is something that works. And whether they need to acquire more of an anchor guy to lead the way and then develop your own players, Woodruff, Burns, Peralta behind that.
Adam, always good. We'll kind of follow up with some of these questions with David Stearns coming up here about 10, 15 minutes. But always enjoy chatting, pal, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. See you, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. Don't forget, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be chatting with the Brewers general manager, David Stearns. He will be here today. We'll pick his brain on some of the things that we just discussed with Adam McAlvey. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state and beyond the borders, as they have locations down in Illinois, Green Bay, Milwaukee as well. So don't forget to call them, 414-455-4451. That's the medical experts over at New Mail Medical. They have the all-in-one weight loss program. That is fantastic. And the treatments for low T as well. Give you more energy, better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. But you can't do anything unless you call. And, yes, it does work, but you have to call. Again, 414-455-4451. Again, 414-455-4451. 4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. Don't forget, David Stern's coming up after the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show live out here at the Goose Island Ale House next to the Budweiser Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair. Got more right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We're back. Welcome back. And I want to remind you that, and I've been telling you for a while now, when it comes to the Wisconsin Biofuels Association, if you're out there cruising around in a car that's newer than 2001 or even a flex fuel vehicle, you can always go with the unleaded 88. You can always go with the E85. However, if you are looking to fill up the red gas can and you're going to use it in your lawn tractor or put it in maybe your outboard boat motor or a weed whacker or something like that, you'll want to stick with the regular unleaded or whatever it is the piece of equipment you're using calls for. Just because, you know, some of those things are tested for the vehicles and not necessarily for some of those smaller engines. So they just want to make sure you get the facts straight, that you keep all your equipment running healthy and happy, all that kind of good stuff. So make sure your friends over at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association, they can help you out by going to their website and seeing all the information, all the facts for yourself. Go to wibiofuels.org. But when you're filling up the car, if it's newer than 2001 or it's a flex fuel vehicle, go with the unleaded 88, go with the E85, because not only are you doing something good for your wallet, you're doing something good for the wallet and the estate's economy with the Corn Growers Association, also with our friends from the Biofuels Association. So make sure you get all the facts, get it straight, make a wise decision, because that's all they ask you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org. And see for yourself what it is they have to offer and maybe what you're missing out on if you're not, kind of converting over. So coming up here in about 5 minutes, David Stearns, the Brewers general manager, going to be joining us. If you had a specific question or two that you wanted to ask the general manager, what would it be? I'm getting a lot of people that are talking about what are they going to spend this offseason, about talking about, the ability to make additional deals, the depletion of the minor league system. You know, what is left to be done this year? Look, there's ways you can still move players this season. You know, if there's a player with major league service that's sitting on a minor league roster, you could possibly go after one of them. There's, things like that. But we'll also talk about the inability now to make any additional moves because of the hard trade deadline that has come and gone. If his back was against the wall, would he do something different all over again? Did they miscalculate this past offseason and not going out and getting additional veteran arms to come in and fill the bill? So all of that has kind of hit my plate here, and I've got all those questions written down, and I will try to get to as many of them as I possibly can. But I think a lot of you are just kind of wondering about this season in particular and some of the things that we had talked to Adam McAlvey about, with the sabermetrics of all or nothing when it comes to the offense. How frustrated are they right now that some things haven't panned out? You know, what about this offseason when it comes to a guy like Travis Shaw? Obviously, you're coming up on the end of the contracts for the one-year deals for Moose and Yasmani Grandal. There's some questions to be answered there, but I think a lot of people just want to know what now. And then the rash of injuries that have happened to the starting rotation. What can be done, if anything, to somewhat prevent this? Because this has become almost habitual now for starting pitching for the Milwaukee Brewers to go down and hit the IL, the injured list. So we'll talk about that as well. But if you've got a question, you got something on your mind, by all means, go ahead and bring it. Hit me up on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. Or you can find us over on the old, fashion way, so to speak, email, just BillMichaels@BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaels@BillMichaelsSports.com, or over on the Facebook fan page. Go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Elroy writes in the Wendy's email inbox, can you ask David Stearns about Craig Counsell's decisions? Sometimes I agree with him, sometimes they don't. But I agree with you that David Stearns has to look at Craig Counsell as a manager who makes a ton of decisions because of the way this team is built. Does it make it harder or easier to manage? I find it fascinating, all the reasoning for his decisions. Sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't. The Brew says, because we're the Brewers, you can't make up ground when the Cubs are winning. This has become frustrating. It seems like the Brewers are going into a sinkhole, even though they got out of it yesterday. They are an all-or-nothing team. Brandy says, can you ask David Stearns about fundamentals? Why can't this team hit behind a runner or drive in runners in scoring position? It has been their bugaboo for quite some time. We'll get into all of that. I promise you we will. We'll try to get into all of that coming up in the interview here in about 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes from now, so stay tuned for that. Also, when it comes to a guy like Corbin Burns, when it comes to some of the guys that are right now on the injured list or the DL, we'll talk about that as well, about the minor league system, if there's, you know, a guy or two that we should be paying attention to. I completely agree with that. We'll start to kind of pay attention to that a little bit. But you know what? I think there's just a lot of people right now that are concerned about the here and the now. You know, Chacin has been out with that strained lat. Zach Davies going to the DL. Jimmy Nelson, his progress. Brent Suter, his progress. Brandon Woodruff with that strained oblique as well. We'll talk about him and his progress and where Corey Knebel's at coming out of the Tommy John surgery from earlier this year. All of that. Bobby Wall, he was a guy they picked up from the Mets, and he was supposed to be a contributor. He goes down with that ACL injury. We'll discuss where that's at. But, again, it doesn't really help you in the here and the right now. You know, a few of these guys, Chacin, Davies, and Woodruff, could be coming back relatively soon, and Jimmy Nelson as well. But we'll talk about the optimism for this team when it comes to pitching. And then offensively speaking, because and the way I put it to Adam McAlvey is the magic from last year seems to have disappeared from this team this year. There just doesn't seem to be as many of those moments that made you a believer last year. Last year, I think at any point in time, we were talking about this team just being in any ballgame. And we haven't seen that consistently this season. And for some, you know, it becomes frustrating because you go from the likes of anything is possible to the impossible is beginning to become probable. And it's you know, like I said, it's just overall frustrating. So especially when you look at this team, especially in late innings, because they're 6-49 right now when trailing after 7. I mean, 6-49. It's almost when you get through 6 innings, you know, you're pretty much done if you don't have the lead. And the fact that, you know, if they have to score 4 runs, if they score at least 4 runs a game, they're 50-22. If they score 3 runs or fewer, they're 7-34. That is a drastic difference. 50-22 versus 7-34. 7-34 is indicative because that means you're giving up 4 runs plus per game, which goes back to the ERA thing with your team and your rotation and your pitching staff as a whole, just not being able to hold teams under 4 runs per game. And you also, I think we have to ask the question, how much, if any, does he believe this team misses the likes of a guy like Derek Johnson and Lee Tunnell? And we'll get into that discussion also. Hang in there. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show broadcasting live out here at the Wisconsin State Fair and enjoying ourselves at the Goose Island Ale House and the Budweiser Pavilion. This portion of the program brought to you by Cousin Subs, where they do catering. Got a big event coming up, whether it's 10 or 10,000. They can handle it. Just enjoy the party. Leave the rest to Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Go to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We'll be back. General Manager David Stearns of your Milwaukee Brewers next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. Hey, a reminder, coming up on Sunday, September 1st, we have our motorcycle ride. It benefits Fisher House, Wisconsin. We hope to see you out there. We certainly appreciate all that participate each and every year, but we can't stop, and we need you. So if you ride a motorcycle or know somebody who does, please go to BillMichaelsSports.com and get signed up. The pre-registration deadline is fast approaching. We're now 8 days away. So if you thought about going with us, please go ahead and get pre-registered. You can still get registered the day of, but if you want the commemorative shirt, that's the free shirt, by the way. That's the only way to get it is by pre-registering. So go to BillMichaelsSports.com, click on the events page, and you'll find the information right there. And we hope to see you there. It's going to be a great one. I'll tell you more details about it coming up here in just a few. Right now, though, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, General Manager of your Milwaukee Brewers, David Stearns is here. David, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to talk to you again. You and I haven't sat down and chatted since really, I think, you know, face-to-face anyway, since spring training. We've talked one other time. So right now where your team is at, I guess, give me your assessment as to how things are going in your eyes.
Well, I think it's been an inconsistent season, and I think we've had periods during this year where we've played really good baseball, where we've come together as a team, and where we've had various segments of our team performing really well. But we've also had a number of stretches this year where we just haven't clicked and we haven't gotten everything going at once. And I think the combination of that leaves us where we are today, which is in a position where we can still win the division. We can still make the playoffs. But we've got work to do, and we know we have to play our best baseball of the season from here going forward to do what we want to accomplish this year.
Craig said the other day it's about guys stepping up, and in that statement he sounded frustrated because it wasn't the fact that there's moves to be made or tinkering to be done. It just sounded like it's just now, as much as he can push buttons, it's now on the players. I mean, is that kind of what you're saying as well, that there's only so much you could do. There's only so much help you could bring in. You do have some injuries to deal with that you're going to be dealing with. But now this is just about execution. Guys just have to go make plays.
I think at the end of the day, that's what it's always about. And we look really smart when players play well, and we don't look smart when players don't play well. And at the end of the day, sports are played by players on the field. We've been really fortunate over the last couple of years here that we've had a number of different players step up. Our guys give tremendous effort every single night. I have a lot of faith in this group, and I think Craig is right. We need guys to step up. I think both Craig and I expect guys will step up. We have a number of players with track records who indicate they have the capability of doing just that, and we've got 2 months left now to make it happen.
When you get a guy like Travis Shaw, you get a guy like Lorenzo Cain, guys that go into a bit of a slump and you're looking at things saying, okay, could it be or could it not be partially due to an injury or such? Once you get through the halfway point of the season and those numbers haven't escalated, how difficult is it in your experience and maybe historically looking at numbers to get a guy to turn those numbers around? Because it seems like once you get mired in pressing, it seems like every at bat, every instance that you get an opportunity becomes another pressing moment, and it's hard to pull a guy out of that. How difficult is it to watch some of the guys that, like you said, you know the back of their baseball card is better, they're just not living up to that?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there when you talk about pressing and the mental component of all of this. And sometimes it's easy to forget that these guys are human beings, and when they struggle, they get frustrated as well. We have a couple players on our team who haven't played up to their expectations and what they've demonstrated they can do in the past. I'd probably put Lorenzo and Travis in a couple of different categories. I think Lorenzo has played through a number of injuries this year, has played really good defense, has been able to contribute to the team in a variety of different ways, even if something like the batting average is a little bit lower than he would expect. And that his track record indicates it could be. I think Travis has had a really tough year, and he'd be the first to say this. This year hasn't gone at all as he would have expected. He's been one of the most consistent hitters in baseball over the last couple of years, and that consistency went away this year. And I think we're all trying to find it. Travis went down to AAA. He did a really nice job in AAA, got his swing back. We haven't quite seen that impact since he's been back here, but I think it's fair to say that that everyone is frustrated by how that season has gone, and first and foremost, Travis.
When you look at the pitching staff and where they're at right now with the injuries, can you give us an update? Yolis, can you give us an update on Brandon, where they're at in all of this? We know that Zach goes down as well, and now you bring up Williams and Faria, but can you give us an update on some of the guys and Jimmy Nelson as well?
Yeah, we're banged up, and we've been hit pretty hard with pitching injuries over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Between Brandon Woodruff going down, Gio Gonzalez going down, Zach Davies more recently, and Yolish Chacin, we've been banged up, and we've lost a pretty sizable segment of our starting rotation. I think realistically, for Yolish and Brandon, we're probably looking at early September. Brandon may be a little bit ahead of that, but he's got some work to do to get there, and obliques are challenging. So we need to be cautious and make sure that when he's back, he's ready to go. Zach, we'll see how this back soreness and this back injury progresses, but he may be a little bit ahead of those other guys. And Jimmy Nelson, realistically, we're probably looking at September as well. He's had some nice outings the last couple outings at AAA, but we need to see continue to build him up, continue to make sure that he's strong and see consistency there. So This is likely the group that we're going to have for the balance of the month. This is the group we're going to be relying upon. And then once we get into September, we may get some reinforcements.
When you were at the trade deadline, there was a lot of names being thrown around. Madison Bumgarner, Will Smith, you can go through Noah Syndergaard, you can go through all the lists. Were you close or working with those teams on acquiring one of those arms? Or I don't want to say did you settle, but what tilted the landscape for you as to where you were going to go?
At every trade deadline and really at every transaction period, whether it's during the season around the trade deadline or during the off season around the winter meetings, we do our best to stay involved in as many conversations as we possibly can. So what I generally say is if there's a rumor out there that we're involved in a player, there's probably some kernel of truth to that. And even if there aren't rumors that we're involved in a particular player, we're probably investigating that as well. I view that as a really important part of my job to make sure I understand what prices are going to be like for various acquisitions, and then we can make the best decisions possible for our organization in terms of whether we want to pay that price from a prospect perspective. In this particular deadline, a lot of the pitchers who were rumored to be available, a lot of the pitchers who were talked about in the weeks leading up to the trade deadline, didn't move, and that's can be for a variety of different reasons. It could be because teams started playing a little bit better and their management decided not to move those players. And it could also be because prices on certain players were probably higher than the industry was willing to pay. And that's what we found on a couple different of our targets, that prices were just above what we thought was reasonable. And so we moved on and we were pleased with the deals we were able to make. They weren't necessarily headline-grabbing deals, but Jordan Lyles has thrown the ball very well for us. Drew Pomerantz has thrown the ball very well for us. We have now some more depth with Jake Faria and Ray Black, and those guys will help us over the course of the next 2 months and hopefully beyond. So while the headline acquisition wasn't made, we are pleased that we were able to add to our overall strength of our roster.
Wanted to also ask you about, when you go to make some of these deals come the off season, do you have to start thinking about looking ahead? Because obviously, the depletion of the minor league system, you can only go to the well so many times before you have to say, okay, we just don't have enough to get some of these deals done. And you and I had talked about this is the most money as far as payroll goes that the Brewers are ever spent. And I had said, if you're trying to keep up with a car that's a Corvette and you go from a Chevy Chevette to a Chevy Impala, you've spent more money, but it doesn't necessarily make you one of those top spenders in that particular category. So how difficult is it to level the money versus the prospects and get a deal done? Because I know you and Mark just can't throw open the purse strings and just go, here, we're going to go spend on everybody. You got to be very wise when you do it. So how does all that get juggled?
That's always the balance. And as you said, we know we're not going to be one of the top spenders in the game. Frankly, we're not going to be even one of the mid-tier spenders in the game. We have a lot of advantages in this market. First and foremost, the intensely passionate fan base that we have and the support that they give our teams. And then we have some constraints in this market as well, and those are highly publicized. And so we try to focus on our advantages and manage our constraints to the best we can. And some of that does come into play this time of year when you're looking at what future payroll obligations may be and how much we can realistically add to that. That's part of the calculus that every single team goes through whenever they're looking at an acquisition, and we certainly have to do that as well.
How difficult is it making just one trade deadline? Because I know that in the past, obviously, you've been able to do some things after that trade deadline. How handcuffing has Major League Baseball's new rule been?
It's definitely different, and I think depending on your competitive position on any given year as will determine whether or not it becomes a hindrance in any particular way. From our perspective, we have been able to make some moves in August and years past that have helped our teams. We were able to do that because prices came down a little bit. The number of competitors, the number of teams who were still in it, diminished. So the number of buyers in August can go down a little bit. Clearly, that's not an opportunity that's available to us right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that rule matures in the coming years, whether it stays where it is, whether we go back to multiple deadlines, whether we push the single deadline back. There are a whole lot of competing forces on Major League Baseball as they try to find the right date for that. But I know it's going to be a topic of discussion this winter at all the industry meetings that we have.
Hey, Mike, or David, I got to ask you about last year. You had a bunch of different guys that changed positions. You had some coaches that left. Obviously, Cincinnati's pitching staff got better. Everybody looks at Derek Johnson and Lee Tunnel in that loss and then looks at the addition of Chris Hook and company this year. Give me your satisfaction as to where you are with the coaching staff right now, working through the adversity of what you've had. And, you know, everybody wants to know, is there a regret about losing some of the guys that helped build a pitching staff that was one of the best in baseball last year?
Well, I think the primary job of coaches is to prepare our players and to help our players get better. And I am pleased that our players are well prepared and that our coaches are doing everything in their power to help those players get better. So I am pleased with our Major League coaching staff. I think they're working really hard. I think they want to help our players get better and perform at a higher level as much as anyone. And I think we've got really talented coaches, and I think that they are part of the solution and will help us get this thing going.
David, always a pleasure. I certainly appreciate it. I got your guy Mike Vassallo texting me while we're talking, so I apologize for calling you Mike, but it's all Brewers related and all good stuff. Always a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks so much for joining us for a couple of minutes, okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. David Stearns, general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers. And I was sitting here because one of the numbers that I had brought up prior to getting David on the air was the Brewers, when trailing after seven innings, are 6-49. And while that number seems relatively ominous, it struck me that it's been better lately than it has been in years past. And sure enough, so Mike Vassallo, our guy over there at the Brewers, crack staff as we call it, they are 6-49, which is a 109 winning percentage when trailing after seven innings, but it's better than the Major League Baseball average. National League winning percentage in those situations is a 101. In the American League, it's a .063. So the 6-49 record, ranks eighth best in Major League Baseball when you talk about come from behind wins. It's actually better than 22 out of 30 teams in the majors. So while it is an ominous number, it is better than the majority of baseball teams out there. But also on the opposite end of the scale, when this team is leading after eight innings, they are 51-1. When they are leading after seven innings, they are 44-4. So I wanted to make sure we gave full disclosure there as I sat here and read off some of those statistics. It is tough when trailing after seven innings. Most Major League Baseball teams don't come from behind and get wins. The fact that the Brewers have stacked six of them in 55 attempts is it's disconcerting, but it's also very remarkable in the sense that they are better than 22 of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball. So there you go. Thanks to David Stearns for joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael. Always appreciate it. Mike Clemens on the ground in Green Bay, and he's brought to you by our friends at the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center, also by our friends at Chili's. Hey, speaking of brought to you by, I cannot get on the motorcycle ride without a lot of great sponsors. Our friends at Bud Light present it every year along with Concordia University and the Veterans Affairs Department, but I am encouraging you and begging you at this point, a little bit down our numbers from last year, really from 2 years ago. Last year was going to be a down year, but from a couple of years ago, we're down. Not by many, enough. But we've got 8 days to get pre-registered for the motorcycle ride coming up on Sunday, September 1st. It benefits the Fisher House, Wisconsin, helping out military members, veterans, and their families at a time of need. We cannot do this without you. It is a tremendous ride, a tremendous route. It's so good. I think this year we topped ourselves as far as the actual ride goes. And we need you to get signed up. And the only way to get the commemorative shirt, the free shirt, is by pre-registering at BillMichaelsports.com. Click on the events page, and it'll take you right to it. You can still register the day of, but we encourage you to register and get pre-registered prior to. We're going to start from Milwaukee Brewing downtown and then get police escorted out of downtown from there. But we're going to start with a great biker's brunch that morning on Sunday from 8 to 10. There's going to be the brunch, also brewery tours. You get to hang out on the rooftop bar. I mean, it is beautiful down there. And then we ride, and it's a tremendous, tremendous ride. Brought to you by our great friends at Stoley's Hog Alley out there in Oconomowoc. Great people, great fun. Also our friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Call my buddy Sean, 262-443-2852. We'll talk more about that coming up after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.